Well, we want to look today to Proverbs chapter 31. On Mother's Day 2003, we preached on this text. We broke it down textually and stayed pretty much with it as we made our way through it. I want to use it today as an introduction of a sermon on the life of a powerful Christian woman, Christian mother, whose influence continues today around the world. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. It is strongly believed that these words of King Solomon are for his mother, Bathsheba, and that the name Lemuel was the pet name she gave him. We're just going to hit the high spots here this morning. She is an honor to her children. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Verses 11 and 12 and 28 and 23, she's an honor to her husband. Her husband has full confidence in her, lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Her husband praises her and is respected in the city gate, verse 24 tells us. She's an industrious worker. And I will not read in the entirety of verses 13 through 27, but it tells about her works, the work of her hands, and then also how she looks over the affairs of her household. And verse 27, does not eat the bread of idleness. And then also she speaks with wisdom, verse 26. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She speaks with kindness, verse 26. The NIV has it, faithful instruction is on her tongue. She can lay down the law, but she does it with kindness. And then, last but not least, she is godly. Verse 30, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This portion ends with a great finale. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Which is to say, everybody knows this woman. And down at the city gate where they all gather, they talk about what a wonderful woman she is. Now here is the big embodiment of that text in the history of the church from about the time our country, the United States, was coming about. Her name was Susanna Annesley Wesley. She lived from 1669 to 1742. Susanna Wesley was the talented daughter of a dissenting minister, a man of ripe learning and good character. Susanna's father refused to obey an English law of 1662, which forced all clergymen to obey the Book of Common Prayer of the Church of England. 5,000 of Christians called nonconformists died in English prisons for their faith. Susanna's features were slight. She wasn't an impressive looking woman. She was an unlikely looking woman. Fact is, in the service tonight, I have a pass out with a color picture of her and her rules for raising children and her definition of sin which she used with her children. If you were going by looks and first impressions, you would not have chosen Susanna Wesley as a likely person to succeed. But she was deeply spiritual. She spent an hour every morning and an hour every evening in meditation and prayer. Now, it may not sound like that's all so great, but let me tell you some more. Let me tell you about how many children she had and how she worked with them. She declared her love of God to far surpass. Her love for God and her desire to please God to far surpass any love and affection for things, for stuff. She had a bent for thinking and learning. While yet in her teens, she knew Latin and Greek and French and her native language, English. Did you get that? She knew four languages in her teen years. She had good judgment. When only 13 years of age, she considered her father's theology and his dissenting views in the balance of her own judgment, and seriously decided that her father was wrong. Even so, Susanna was the favorite child of her father, and her religious opinions did not divide them. Isn't that good? We must remember that, even in the home, as well as at church and elsewhere, we must not let our opinions divide us. She did not abandon him nor isolate him and continued to be a good daughter. Church historian Abel Stevens writes that she was perhaps one of the completest characters morally and intellectually to be found in the history of her sex. Susanna Wesley was never prone to being fashionable. Modern girls would more likely be planning for good times and fashionable gowns, said Abel Stevens. But she found joy and fulfillment in being disciplined and productive and in pleasing God. The poetry and music her children displayed came from their father, except for the discipline side of it. Someone said to a famous composer, how much inspiration is there in writing music? And he said, trust me, believe me, it's at least 90% perspiration, perhaps the rest inspiration. Susanna provided the discipline side of it. She has left us no proof of talent in poetry, and the genius of her children seems to have been inherited from their father, whose passionate love of art and of poetry and hymn writing and constant attempts at rhythm and poetry must account for the hereditary talent of the family in music. Perhaps her one and greatest lapse of judgment, because she was a young person with a lot of wisdom, but her perhaps greatest, one and greatest lapse of judgment was when she was married at the age of 19 to Samuel Wesley, a little, hot-headed, strong-willed preacher of the Church of England, what today would probably be called a protester and demonstrator. His ministerial ancestors had also been dissenters and suffered much for their faith. He was a well-meaning man, but lacked common sense, never learning how to bring his expenses within his income. Going away to ministerial conventions at great expense, or being imprisoned, going to jail for debt, and leaving his brave, overburdened wife to look after her home and the parish, the church, and to secure bread for their very large family. During this time, Susanna endured terrible poverty. A thief slashed the udders of their family cow, so she had to find milk for the family elsewhere. But Susanna declared, "Religion is nothing else than doing the will of God and not our own will." Very often, her husband Samuel found himself at odds with the people of the city. It was believed that the rectory, what we call the parsonage, was burned because of his inability to get along with the people of Epworth. Her husband Samuel Wesley had to be rescued from debtor's prison by the Bishop of York so he could return to his work at the church. Can you imagine just how effective he was if the bishop had to go get him out of jail? Now listen to this. It's getting better, folks, all the time. She bore 19 children in 21 years. Now you're listening, aren't you? Almost one half of them, 9, died in infancy. And one was deformed, probably due to the fact of the mother's ill health and their births being so close together. Yet, Susanna wrote in her diary that all her sufferings serve to, quote, "promote my spiritual and eternal good. Glory be to thee, O Lord." So when you consider the obstacles against which Mrs. Wesley struggled, she rises high in your estimation. One of the daughters spoke of the intolerable want that afflicted them, their hunger and so on. One historian wrote, "Susanna was an ideal wife, incomparably superior to her husband, and yet herself lovingly blind to the fact. She might have talked philosophy with Hypatia or discussed Latin or Greek with Lady Jane Grey. They were a strong-willed couple, each accustomed to thinking for himself. It may be taken for granted, however, that when they differed, the wife, Susanna, was usually in the right. But she was a devoted wife and praised by her husband and had a strong commitment to and obedience to him. And yet, she refused to say amen to his prayers for the king, whom she considered to be much less than he ought to be. One thing she couldn't do. She thought he was running cross grain with the will of God for the kingdom of England, and so she couldn't say amen to her husband's prayers for the king. Samuel, in anger, declared that if they had two kings, they must have two beds, and departed, staying away for 12 months. This is history, folks. Yet, someone said, other than that one issue, she practiced the sweetest wifely obedience towards him. In his home, he was practically a tyrant, his wife calling him "my master." Well, this morning, we're going to go on with this this evening, but we must remember and stress that even though we are turned off and almost completely distracted by her husband's terrible ways and behavior, we must not lose focus of the fact that with such unfortunate circumstances, it only reinforces and empowers the fact that she made such an incredible contribution to even our modern world through the lives of her children. It's a classic case of a person who had a hard life and yet made the very best of it and made a great contribution to the world. And we're going to talk a lot more about her this evening in our 6 o'clock service. Be sure to be here and bring Mom with you. But I just want to break in here and emphasize the incredible influence of this woman through her children. It is the nature of mothers. God made them that way. Hey, don't brag about me, brag about my babies, if it's either or. Amen? And from what we know about Susanna, she was deeply grateful for God's anointing and blessing upon her children. So all the influences of their lives we lay at her feet. Now folks, there's not another Wesley I know of. All of these Wesley and Wesleyan names go to Charles and John and back to their mother, Susanna Wesley. The Wesleyan Church, a whole denomination named Wesleyan. Indiana Wesleyan University, a part of the Wesleyan Church, Marion, Indiana. Oklahoma Wesleyan, Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Roberts Wesleyan College in Rochester, New York. Southern Wesleyan University, Central South Carolina. Wesley College, Melbourne, Australia. All a part of the Wesleyan Church. They used to call the Wesleyan Methodist Church. Independent schools and organizations. John Wesley College, High Point, North Carolina. Allegheny Wesleyan College, Salem, Ohio. Wesley Biblical Seminary, Jackson, Mississippi. Wesleyan Theological Society. Church of the Nazarene, Wesley Center for Applied Theology, Northwest Nazarene University. Congregational Methodist Church, Wesley College, Florence, Mississippi. United Methodist, you know a bunch of these. John Wesley Villas, Macon and Savannah. Wesley College, Dover, Delaware. North Carolina Wesleyan College, Rocky Mount, North Carolina. West Virginia Wesleyan, Virginia Wesleyan College. Kentucky Wesleyan College, Wesleyan College, Macon, Georgia. Iowa Wesleyan College, Tennessee Wesleyan College. Illinois Wesleyan University, Texas Wesleyan University. Wesleyan University, Middletown, Connecticut. Dakota Wesleyan University. Kansas Wesleyan University, Ohio Wesleyan University, Nebraska Wesleyan University. I don't think any of those organizations I've mentioned are connected to any other Wesley. And then there's the influence of Charles Wesley. 22 of the hymns in your Nazarene hymnal there in your pew are written by Charles Wesley. Let me read just some of them. Blessed be the name, O for a thousand tongues to sing. Come thou long expected Jesus. Hark the herald angels sing. And can it be, Christ the Lord is risen today? Can you think of another songwriter, traditional songwriter, that has a major Christmas carol and a major Easter hymn? He wrote both of them. We're probably, many of us are not aware of that. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Lo, He comes with clouds descending. Arise, my soul, arise. Oh, for a heart to praise my God. Jesus, thine all-victorious love, love divine, all loves excelling. I know that my Redeemer lives. A charge to keep I have. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Jesus, lover of my soul. 22 in the Nazarene hymnal. 19 in the 1956 Southern Baptist hymnal. And I haven't seen, there's one I think from 2008, I didn't get to check it. I'm assuming more of his songs probably in it. Indicating the influence of the Wesleys on those who espouse doctrines even other than the Wesleyan doctrines. I was talking to the pastor a little while back of our First Baptist Church here in Dublin, a fine Christian man, who was asking me a number of questions about our church, the Church of the Nazarene, and the Wesleyan movement. He also mentioned that he and his son who is preparing for the ministry, spent a good part of 2 days while in England visiting the historic spots of the Wesleys, their family, their home, their library. And since then, I have learned that there is a resurgence of interest in the Wesleys among those in the Christian world, especially among religion students. I said that all to say this morning, here's the bottom line. Wouldn't Susanna be proud? All this impact her sons have had on the world, even to this day. What a mother. What an influence. Although she was humble, it wouldn't be unsanctified, I don't think, to imagine her saying, "Those are my boys." Well, one of the hymns is this one. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. And this one, and I'd like to ask you to join me on the refrains, and shall we stand together? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of Jesus, the name that charms our fears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the He breaks the power of canceled sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the foulest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bless Your name. And we bless our wonderful mothers that you have given us. And as we celebrate with them today, may your presence and your blessing be upon us and upon them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.